I had enough of that song in the 90s. Wow, it lived on to the 2020s. Republic of Texas Radio, today's date is March 10th, 2024. And they say today is Mario Day because, I don't know, M-A-R is March and I-O is 10 comes together. It's March 10th, Mario. What the hell is going on here? Mario was a big deal in the 90s when I was a kid, and, well, it still goes. Let's see if Alan knows anything about Mario Brothers. Alan, how about it? Mario Brothers this week, you know what that is?
I guess I really am an oddity, Steve. I do not believe I ever played one
game of
Mario. I like Centipede and Xavier and Galaga and all those, you know. I never played Mario. I never liked to be a little short dude jumping over robots and stuff or whatever in the hell it was that he did.
Well, you know, back in the day, you know, you talked about the old stand-up video game consoles, and, you know, that's interesting. We had a thing called Donkey Kong. You remember that one? You rescue the princess. You kind of ran up the thing. You guys had to have that game, yeah?
I've seen it once again. Never played that, you know. I can remember when it went from ice hockey and shuffleboard and pinball machines.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, when the first Pong machine came out. Oh my God, wasn't that fascinating?
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. They'd shovel the quarters into that dang game, and it changed the bowling alleys and laundromats where I grew up. You know, it was like, wow, the revolution was on. And now, wow. Those machines just sit silent in most places.
Was it you and me that were talking about the other day that it's like, I remember because my younger brother, you know, he got into computers, and what was it, Atari or Sega? Which one came out with the first old games? You played like Dungeons and Dragons or something like that, you know? You ran a little dragon through a maze, through a castle.
That was Atari, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
You must have been having that conversation with somebody else. Somebody else remembers the old days. But yeah, that was Atari, and that was a free game that came with your Atari. You had a little square and you could pick up a sword, and you moved to the south, north, east, and you had a castle and damn dragon.
The digital pixelization was pretty crude at that time. You know, the pixels were like a 4-inch, you know. You know, it's like it kind of looked like a dragon if you use your imagination, but it was just a real blocky little thing that you ran through a maze. Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely, you know, fascinating to a certain extent that we were so enthralled by it. I used to play a lot of video games. I grew up in Silicon Valley, so, you know, that was kind of normal, and I'd break my controllers, and not by accidentally breaking it, but, you know, that little dot in Atari's...
I forgot you grew up in Silicon Valley, Steve. That's why you have those man boobs.
Man boobs. That's funny.
They're not real, are they, Steve?
Uh-oh. Here we go. Now you're going to distract me. Anyways, so...
what I'm here for, so man. Just doing my job.
Oh, yeah. Good deal. So that's what we talk about here on the show. No, we talk about a whole bunch of different stuff. I just thought that Mario Brothers is an interesting oddity when we talk about our culture in today's world. And, you know, see the progression of our computers to today's. You know, one of the earlier computer programs that I remember was a program called Zork. Do you remember Zork, Alan? By chance,
Steve. The only thing I ever had to do with programming was when I was in college. You know, I was in, you know, in science and I think it was an environmental science class. We had to go down and access the mainframes at the university, and I believe we were using Fortran. We had to actually go in and plug in this graphical, you know, program for doing, you know, a statistical graph, or I forgot what it was, but you had to go in and punch in semicolon comma. You know, X, Y, semicolon, backslash, you know, and if you didn't get everything put together just right, it wouldn't work, and you had to go back and spend another 2 hours to get the bathroom computer console so you could get your graphical display of your data that you had.
I can definitely see why that would be annoying. You know, I grew up a little bit later than you, and things like computers were a little bit more fun to me. You know, Zork was one of the first little games, and it was all text. It didn't even have that damn square we were talking about with the Atari and, you know, move around with the joystick. That didn't happen. It said, you know, Zork was something, and it just printed some words on the display. You are at the entrance to a cave. What do you want to do? That's kind of like the question it gave you, and I'm paraphrasing because I haven't seen the text for, damn, a lifetime. And you go, oh, go into the cave, or go north, or go south, or go east, or go west. And then it'd print some stuff, and then it kind of taught us programming without having us program at all. Because after you played Zork for a little bit, you understood the way that the computer system actually worked and so forth. And today, I see these AIs, which are becoming, Alan's favorite word, ubiquitous with today's lifestyle, except for Alan. Alan, you know, his trees don't have AIs yet.
Steve, I think it was my first 2 years in college. When you went to get your classes, you went into this big auditorium and you went around to these desks, and it's like, I want to take algebra 2 at this time on these days, and if the class was open, they handed you a punch card and you put that in your folder, and when you collected all your punch cards, you went and you turned them in and they ran them through a computer, you know, that read the punch cards, and that's how you got your classes. There was no digital, nothing. It was freaking, you know, a computer reading with little holes in a card.
Yeah, they were pretty fancy for back then, man. You know, that's going through school in my early years, we didn't even have copy machines. So I don't think you did either. We had a mimeograph machine and, you know, paper and pencils, and you weren't allowed to have pens. Only the teachers could have pens. And it was like, crazy.
But you're talking about those mimeograph sheets, man. It's like when the teacher came in and gave you a test and everyone grabbed their sheet of mimeograph paper and smelled it, man. How many kids got high on the ink off those mimeograph things, man? It smelled pretty good.
I forgot about that.
Everyone grabbed those sheets and smelled them.
And maybe I grew up in a different place, right? You know, my school was violent. And it wasn't, Happy Days violent or something like that with knives and sticks and everything. But we fought, right? You know, you'd have a difference with somebody and you'd call somebody out. And that meant that after school, you'd go out and, you know, a bunch of people would gather around and one person would try to beat up the other person. And it wasn't like, you know, Karate Ninja time. You know, was...
and Steve, on
brutal.
On this subject too, you know,
or
it's like
immature fighting.
You know, most of the kids that I went to school with, we all had pen knives in our pocket, and if we did have a fight, we didn't pull our knives out and stab and cut each other. Like you said, you know, we'd battle it out however we would, but no one ever got stabbed. You know, we actually used to pull our knives out, and there was a game called Mumbly Peg that you could play with your pen knife. You know,
what?
A big blade and a little blade, and we'd go out on the playground at recess and play Mumbly Peg at the elementary school on the playground underneath a big oak tree, and no one ever got stabbed. Imagine that.
Mumbly Peg? What?
It's called Mumbly Peg. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Define that, please.
You take the big long blade and you flip it all the way out. Then you had a little short blade. You'd flip that out to 45 degrees, you know, to where it was sticking straight down. And you take your knife and grab it by the tip, and you throw it up in the air and spin it. And it'd stick in the ground, and if it stuck straight up, you got so many points. If it landed flat with a small blade stuck in the ground, you got so many points. If it landed, you know, with the big blade and the little blade sticking in the ground, you got so many points. It was a game we played with knives.
Huh. Okay. Mumbly Peg. Now I'm educated. Wow. if anybody ever tells me I don't learn anything from this radio show, I'm just kidding. You know, that's great. You know, I didn't know about that. You know, I did have a conversation last week, and that's what us old remnant. Oh, yeah, by the way, remnant. What's the word remnant? I did have a conversation last week about pencil fighting. You know, and I did that, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. But pencil fighting, you know, we used to buy pencils and make pencils to win pencil fights at school. Since we're there, it's kind of old farts kind of do that sometime,
Did you ever do this? You know, when classes, when they started doing the suspended ceilings with, like, you know, that foam type stuff up there above your head? And you'd sit there in class and you'd take your pencil and you'd just like take it and you'd stick it up and see who could stick a pencil in the roof in the ceiling above your head.
No, Alan, I did not. I guess I missed out on a whole bunch of my life.
Because it was kind of apparent, you know, it's like, who's the pencil stuck in the, you know, which seat are the pencils stuck in the ceiling over? It was kind of hard to conceal your guilt. So we did get in trouble, but it was fun.
Yep. This is old fart talk. You know, that's what, you know, Michael Gatti, not Michael Gatti. Yeah, it is allegedly Michael Gatti, but I don't think I've ever heard Michael Gatti say the word remnant. I hear it more from Stephen Douglas Whitener on Saturday mornings, quoting Michael Gatti. So if Stephen Douglas Whitener quotes Michael Gatti, does it really fall down in the woods? What? You know, echo, echo, echo. Anyways, remnant is the word. Is that the same as old fart? I kind of wondered that this morning, Alan. So I went out to the online dictionary because, well, you know, I don't have a dictionary where I live. And I wanted to get a definition. What do you think the definition of remnant is? Can you do that?
Leftovers, basically.
Okay. Well, they're more eloquent than you. Let's see. Noun. It's a noun, they say. Something left over. Ah, crap. They're just like you. a remainder. Oh, okay. I know what a remainder is. And then there's another definition. A piece of fabric remaining after the rest has been used or sold. Huh. Okay. Well, I guess a remnant is the right word, right? The rest of the world has been used up and sold out.
We've definitely been sold out, so yeah.
Yeah, so that one works too. The third one, and I'm sure there's other ones, but it's kind of fun, is a surviving trace or vestige. What a fancy word, vestige. You know, but yeah, okay, I can go with remnant. But one of the questions that I have when that statement is being used, I like old fart better, but we don't necessarily have to be old farts, because there are new farts that are out there that are informed or just coming informed to the reality that is around them, that the whole world has a different agenda for your life than maybe you've been sold the American dream. That's kind of a problem, because if you've been sold that instead of the communitarian view of, well, we all work together and screw you, I think that's the communitarian view, and not screw the other person, screw yourself, is kind of what I'm trying to say. Maybe I can't articulate.
Kind of funny, Steve. You know, I had a friend, actually this guy was a salesman for one of the liquor companies, you know, when I worked in this bar, and they had a band, you know, him and a couple of his friends, and, you know, they weren't playing rock music, they'd play, just a whole wide variety of music. And but the name of their band, they called themselves Los Payos Viejos, which is the old farts.
The old farts. Yeah, I can see that. You know, and I try to, I don't know, maybe I'm just too conscious of all sorts of stuff. And when I sit there and listen to myself talk about the olden days, I think about what it was like to be the youngin days and listen to the old farts talking about the olden days and so forth. And even in, you know, this movement, bowel movement, really, really, you have to say that. Well, it was just there. Anyways, When I found Republic Broadcasting, I was a young man. Dun, dun, dun. Nah, it's 20 years ago or so. You know, I don't know. It seems like forever. Every day gets longer. I was new to a lot of the concepts, and I keep getting reminded by that, by things that I do in my normal daily life and how I understand things. Let's see. I think it was several months before I found Republic Broadcasting. I figured out that they called Republicans the right and the Democrats the left. And I said, why the hell are they the right? And why the hell are they the left? And why is that red? And why is that blue? And this doesn't make any sense to me, right? You know, and all this stuff didn't make sense. Oh, Rhino? What? What the hell is that? Right? But this has been going on forever. But as a young man, I wasn't politically active. You know, well, that's not true either, right? I voted for Bill Clinton because he played a saxophone on stage when I was a dumbass, right? And I just thought that was really cool, and I wanted a president that was down to earth. I would have voted for Ross Perot because, you know, listening to Ross Perot talking and Bill Clinton and all those other guys, the only one that made sense was Ross Perot. And he told me about the future with, you know, the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. He told me that there was going to be a great sucking sound. And I said, oh, crap, he's right. If we inflate the world, we deflate the U. What does that look like? And I'm like, oh, crap. But then Ross Perot left the race, and there was only, you know, we could have chose Bill Clinton, or I think it was Bush. And I was I'm like, okay, here we go. We're gonna go for the guy that played the saxophone. Here we go. Couldn't blink. And that's about all I paid attention to. And besides, when you went to vote, you know, back in those days and today, you know, who's working at the, you know, election polly thingy, the remnant, right? The old fart, right? And they always say the same thing. I wish we could get young people involved in this. And I go, huh, seems like a systemic request or problem or something. I don't know. It's just there. But I feel like the remnant, the old fart, whatever. But even then, you know, coming into Republic Broadcasting, what, 20 years ago, it seems. It might be a few years, less than 20, guys, you know, seriously. But RBN, I believe, 20, according to TuneIn, the birth date of Republic Broadcasting itself is 2004. That's 20 years ago at some point, guys, right? You know, and that's not Republic Radio International. That would be the other thing, right? The thing that turned into the thing that, oh, God, that's another story. But, you know, hell, RBN's going on 20 years. And it's still alive.
Yeah.
And hey, still
Steve,
changing.
Yeah, Steve, you know, remember all the old hosts back then in the day? You know, a lot of guys have come and gone. If you said the name, I would remember it. But, you know, it's been so long since a lot of those old guys that I first started listening to. Some of them are still around, and you hear them periodically. But, man, there's been a lot of good information come out on RBN. You know, it was... And you're talking about, you know, when Bill Clinton became president. I remember, you know, I lived in Arkansas then, and we actually drove down here shortly after, you know, after the election and Bill Clinton won. We came down here, and one of my cousins, he said, "What do you think about your boy being in the presidency?" And I said, I looked at him, I said, "Frank, I said the only reason anyone from Arkansas voted for him was to get him the hell out of our state. We've had enough of him." I mean, you know, Clinton, I mean, he had a big history, a long history in Arkansas, and anyone from Arkansas, you couldn't help but know that Clinton was going to do exactly what he did. You know, we just wanted him the hell out of our state. If we voted for him, it was to get him out of our state. And he looked at me and started laughing.
Absolutely. You know, I try not to bring up Bill Clinton with you. You know, I know that you'd say it would be like this future that's well, that might be coming true, right? With Gavin Newsom walking up the ladder, right? You know, now sitting in destroying California. It's really funny watching an individual destroy something and then move up the ladder. So what do you have to do in this world? Well, I guess with, you know, the great sucking sound that Ross Perot was talking about. Ross Perot was a, well, he wasn't the greatest guy, right? You know, he ran a tight ship over at International Business Machine, a company they call IBM. They're still there. And he used to push his people around being in the IT industry. I'd hear stories about working for Ross Perot back in the day. A three-piece suit, better iron that some bitch, you fired. Right, you know, he was a stickler, right? You know, but hey, okay, that's a different thing nowadays. It doesn't matter if you stink, have blue hair. Actually, it does matter. You get a raise. At least that's what we're told, kind of. And you have to. Well, anyways, I digress. But wow, I don't know. We're in a strange place. We're the remnant. We're looking back, but there are young folks that are coming into this. Two, that's one of those reasons I disagree with that statement that Republic Broadcasting is the remnant. Might be just in denial, right? But we do get new people. They do come through, and they come through the shock and awe. If you remember going through the Corbett, you know, a lot of people came through the Corbett with the understanding that something's wrong. And they didn't agree with the whole doomsayers. Well, the Corbett's behind us now by a couple years. And the remnant, right, the remnant of the Corbett, they're still here, are they? Are they lulled back? Did they take the fluoride and go back to sleep? You know, are they just waiting around? A lot of those people, I believe, but again, that's anecdotal, Alan. They just don't call into the shows if they're the remnant. They're worried about the tracking and tracing, and they have their concerns about the ways to listen to the station. I mean, we've got folks that listen by phone, by internet streams, by satellite, right, by terrestrial radio. There's a lot of micro stations in this world that rebroadcast that, so they pull down the stream from wherever and then they send it out, and people can listen to that for free. And that's how I actually found Republic Broadcasting. I think I probably found them on the interweb first back in the early 2000s. But it wasn't until I got to Fredericksburg and I heard a FM station in my barn, sitting there in the barn, you know, trying to take care of the animals. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what the hell was that? Oh, my God, I know that. And it was the voice of Darren Weeks, right? Darren Weeks. And he's just came back to the network, by the way. And so he's on Saturday mornings again. So if you missed that yesterday, you guys tune in. It was wonderful. And I heard Darren Weeks, right, in a barn, right? And I'm sitting there going, I know that voice. I know that voice. And it was Darren from a different show. I never heard his Govern America show at the time. You know, it was that was new to me. And I was not the remnant then. I was the newbie. I mean, define newbie, right? Somebody that hasn't gone down all the rabbit trails. Have I gone down all the rabbit trails? Yeah, you know, because Darren Weeks was American Expose. Chris Gerner, that was a Republic Broadcasting show back in the early 2000s, right? American Expose with a K. And it scared the crap out of me. I got to be honest. You know, listening to that, and you can still go to AmericanExpose.com. Darren Weeks keeps that website up for historical reasons, hysterical reasons, right? You know, Chris Gerner, listening to Chris Gerner talk about going through Katrina. Oh, my God. What kind of trauma-based mind control is it to be awake when Katrina happened? You know, the stories? I wasn't awake. I was in denial. I thought it was kind of funny. You know, back then, we had a new-fledged, company called the Weather Channel. And the owner of the Weather Channel was, you know, adamant that there was no such thing as global warming. And so there was this war going on. And there was an announcer on the Weather Channel saying that this is the government. The government did this. This is man-made. And I'm like watching this going, and at work watching this in what's called a network operations center where they have big screens all over the place. And I look to this director dude, right, that I was working for. And I said, did you hear that? And he says, yeah, that guy's crazy. Hey, what's that doing? Get back to work. Wow, crazy. But I see it now, you know. But the whole world has changed, man, you know, and over time. And it's changing again. I guess I'm digressing a little bit. But as the remnant, we go down these little rabbit trails to the times of yore. And... well, unfortunately,
that waking up process, Steve. You know, you said you were sitting there scared to crap. You know, you know, those of us who've gone through it, I remember back. You know, sitting out here by myself, basically listening to this stuff and making all the connections. Because, like I said, you know, like one person told me, I believe it was Mark Kornke told me. He said, "Alan, look at it this way." He said, "You were never really completely asleep. You just didn't have the knowledge and the information stream to tie it all together." And then I found, like you said, you found RBN, and, you know, Alex Jones, of course, was part of it for a lot of us, you know.
Sure.
Back when he was a little more truthful, you know.
He scared the crap out of me.
And you're listening to this, and it doesn't make you feel comfortable, but it starts to make all the connections, you know, of everything that you actually saw and observed in your life, you know, around you. And then you hear the mainstream news to give you an excuse, you know, for why a certain thing happened, and you're like, well, that doesn't seem right, but I guess they're telling me the truth, you know. And then you start finding the truth, and then the connections start, you know, they start being made. And you're sitting here going, oh, crap. It's like, this really, oh, shice, you know.
It's like, no.
This really is happening. And I wasn't crazy, you know. It's like, you almost wish you were crazy at certain points because, you know, it's scary when you're sitting there by yourself and you try to talk to other people and they say, you're just crazy. That's just stupid, you know. But you're making the connections and you see the reality of the situation. And then you start to become more lonely and more isolated, you know, as you go along. You know, in your family, your friends that you had, you know, you try to explain to them. And they all just start making fun of you and they stop calling you and they stop asking you to go play golf or go fishing, you know. Because you're crazy now, and it was a very strange point in life. And those of you out there, if there's someone out there listening, just starting to come to these awarenesses, you ain't alone, okay?
Yeah, and you don't have to call the station, right? I mean, you can. I'll give out the number right now, 512-248-8252, if you feel like adding something in, you know, we do take callers. This is a call-in show, right? We have loose rails, I guess the word is. I normally sit there and I'll have a page or two of notes of where I want to go during the day, but you know, the daylight savings time thing really got me, and it's actually good for me this year. For the past, 9 months, 10 months, or something like that, I'm going through relationship problems, and I've been getting up at 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning every morning. God, how does that really kill you, right? You know, it sucks being awake during the, you know, whatever, the hour of the wolf, or whatever you want to call it, you know, late in the middle of the night. But today, I woke up a half hour before the show. Wow. That's great. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back. Up in Texas Radio. Like you said, it's in my head. The can run circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. Wouldn't miss it for the sun. I want the truth! Can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
So here we fight all through the night.
Okay. We're back. Bottom of the hour, Republic of Texas Radio. I'm Steve O'Brien. Alan Crutcher is riding shotgun with me. I should probably say that a little bit more because, well, no, who cares? It doesn't really matter, does it? You know, you'll eventually figure out who Alan and I are. Or maybe you already know. Who cares? Well, I care, kind of. Not really. Alan, do you got anything you wanted to talk about this week? Because I got a bunch of things that I was going to kind of like deal with, but I forgot to ask you what you're thinking about.
Nothing in particular, Steve, no.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The world's going to continue on the way it's going, and we're just going to kind of report on it. But no, go ahead, whatever you
have. Okay. Well, as you all know, and Alan, we've talked a little bit about this, voting, to me, is kind of a waste of time. That doesn't mean that I don't waste my time. Right. You know, I'll have to say that, right? But I do it for different effect, right? And I'm not too sure why. Maybe it's for the information's sake of voting, or maybe it's for the reason of, I'm still trying to figure it out, right? Why the hell are you do it if they, you know, why the hell do you do it?
I would say you have a small masochistic streak in you.
Okay. Maybe it's huge. I don't know. I mean, I voted for Bill Clinton. I was manipulated into voting for that, right, for the wrong reasons. And, you know, have I been trying to make up for it ever since, right? You know, I wanted to vote for Ron Paul, but I you know, I did vote for him, right? But I also looked into his eyes and I said, oh, crap. You know, What the hell would have happened? Would we have been better off with Ron Paul? I don't know. You know, Ernie Hancock is another one of those broadcasters here on Republic Broadcasting in the early 2000s. He has a show called Declare Your Independence, and I haven't heard from him for years. You know, I love the Ernie show, but, well, hey, he's not within my spectrum of listening, so I haven't heard him for a while. I don't know. Have you heard Ernie at all, Alan?
You know, Steve, still on the satellite? Long time. A long time, but I believe Ernie Hancock, I think he came up with a statement that I actually love. I believe he said, hey, look, it boils down to this. Don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff. Leave me alone, on how to live your life. You know, I believe he boiled it down to don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff, and we'll get along just fine.
Yeah, I love Ernie, right? It was really great, but the funny thing is all these channels and all these voices, they go different direction, the remnant splits and goes, and that's okay. You know, he still has his following out there, and, you know, he has a whole bunch of different people that broadcast with him. And, but anyways, Ernie Hancock jumped on the Ron Paul bandwagon, and he said this numerous occasions. He says, I didn't think that he was going to win, right? But I thought it was really good to promote the message, right? Because I want more people thinking about this stuff. So back in the early 2000s, and I don't know when the hell Ernie started his nonsense. Was it nonsense? Not really. The revolution, re-love, whatever the hell that was. You know, it talked about financial responsibility. What the Federal Reserve actually was, you know, because back in the day we had, Freedom to Fascism. There was a movie back then that was very popular, and Aaron Russo made that movie. You know, he was a pretty popular, which is strange thinking about Aaron Russo, right? Did he make movies for the elite? Because in theory, Aaron Russo was told that he was going to, you know, have the offer to join the elite. But he made a movie called Tootsie, right, where a guy dresses up as a girl or something like that. And now we have the transvestitisms, you know, and you go, oh, crap. Well, I didn't disbelieve Aaron Russo, but now I kind of like look back and go, whoa, what the hell? I don't know. Can't explain the universe around me. But back to... Ernie Hancock, you know, he's the remnant, you know, he's still going. He was touching things. I touch things in my voting, right? The way that I vote, not necessarily the vote. I mentioned to a lot of folks last week that I went out to do the hand counting. Well, it was the week before. I learned how to count ballots with the Republican Party. Oh my God, you're a Republican, Steve. Well, no, technically I'm just registered in the Republican Party. Well, crap, I don't know. I don't call myself a Republican. I don't feel like kinship with all those people, those Republicans. You know, they're in a different state than I am. But I do play games with them. You know, I can't play games with the Democrats because, well, I don't know. Being in a sandbox with the Looney Tunes, that's tough. I'd rather play with the Looney Tunes. You know what I'm saying, Alan? There's a difference between a... Go ahead.
Steve, see, This is one of the first and one of the easiest parts of control and manipulation. It is to get you to classify yourself into
as a lunatic,
large group. Because once you classify yourself, once you call yourself a Republican or a Democrat or a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Christian or a Catholic or a Buddhist or a Hindu, once they get you to classify yourself into a particular group structure, a group mindset, then the manipulation begins. Because it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, the Republican platform. Everyone says, oh, well, I like the platform, but I hate what they're doing. And it's like, well, don't you understand the manipulation? It's like they make it sound good, but they get you to classify yourself, and that gives them acceptance for whatever in the hell they do with the doo-doo that they do.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Wow, that's a shirty conversation. Just kidding.
Yeah,
hey, I'll get back
a little bit fecal, but yeah, what the hell.
Yeah, it is Sunday morning. We kind of go there. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you a little bit more about, counting votes for the Republican primary this last week. It is a fascinating story, you know, and some of the stuff that's on it. But for now, let's go to Chance. Chance in West Virginia, you're behind door number one. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Alan, you made a point earlier I got to agree with. I remember those days when you brought up things that you saw going on and you tried to convince other people and how isolated it felt and frustrating. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And at this point now, I don't know if it's age or wisdom that, you know, finally told me I'm never going to save the world, so concentrate on my own survival instead, you know?
Yeah, I feel that, my friend. We've all gone through these levels, you know.
Yeah.
The frustration at certain times, you know.
And I still get it even today.
Even when they ask you a question and you try to give them an honest answer, and still they look at you like you're crazy, even though they initiated the conversation. It gets very frustrating, and you just want to say, well, screw it. I've done what I could.
Don't subject yourself to that anymore. First, I test the waters. I see where their mind is at. And if I see they're kind of out there, you know what I mean? Then I talk about the weather or something. You know, even today when I find myself occasionally trying to organize people for a cause, right, I almost always regret it. And that's what people on our side do. So the way I see it, it's a no-win waste of time to try to save the world. The world has to save itself, and without my help or advice. You know, and because I put myself first now, for the first time in my life, I have much more peace of mind.
That's great.
Well, it sounds selfish and everything, but believe me, I'm too old to be isolated and it does no good. It's a waste of my time. It just causes problems.
You know, Chance, I totally get you on that. You know, outcome independent, I see, is the most important thing. So while I'm talking about our election nonsense here in Texas, and I do know that it's not nonsense that elections have consequences and crap like that, right? But my investment of my emotions in a particular candidate for a particular office, you know, doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter how much I like, I'm going to get up on the soapbox. Candidate is going to tell me, I need to get out and knock on doors, and I need to get out and throw my money into the pile, and I need to get out so I invest, right? I invest my hopes, my dreams, my money, my time, my energy, right? And then candidate fails. And I go, well, I tried. Well, screw that. You know, I didn't get my outcome. You know, and the older I get, kind of like what you just talked about, you know, the more I understand, well, I know I'm kind of stimulated to empty my wallet into your coffers, but you know, I love you. Go do your thing. Grab somebody else's money.
Steve, Well, Steve, of all things, the Rolling Stones pretty much said what you just said. They said, just send $10 to the Church of the Bleeding Hearts of Jesus, and all your prayers will be answered.
I'm not just talking about money.
And they were.
I'm not just talking about money. Go ahead, Chance. You were going to say something.
I don't know if you know this. I don't even think people really want to be helped. I'll be honest with you. Because
I don't either. I do, though.
I brought up a solution about the targeting thing. Now, I know damn well people are being targeted. Here's an example, a real quick example. I know damn well people are being targeted in one way or another. And I don't mean just by radio waves. I mean in other ways, too, right? How many people do you think give a crap about that? Nobody. Everybody's got their own agenda. Everybody wants, most people, you know, they want to impress people with their knowledge. They want to impress. And I say to myself, wait a minute. This isn't a talent friggin' contest. Man, your lives are being jeopardized here. So, in other words, I said to myself, this, man. I'm not going to stick my damn neck out for nobody, man. It just ain't happening. I'm too old for this crap now, you know? And people can look at that and say, oh, you're giving up all this crazy talk. No, it ain't. I'm giving up. I'm not going to. Why should I carry this weight on my shoulders when you don't want to damn listen? I said, it's no point.
True.
It's a waste of my time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how
hey,
I start.
Chance, you know. Exactly. You're talking about people saying, well, you're just giving up, and it's like, no. But once you understand, it's like, you know, the inevitability of the machine that's been put in place across the planet.
Well, you know what I tell
them,
Al?
It's not just in this country or in your county or anything. This is a machine, and it is very well oiled, and it is marching on. And, you know, and it's not going to end peacefully. There is no way we'll ever end peacefully. Nothing ever ends peacefully. You know, you look throughout history, you know. You know, it's got to fall apart before something new can be born out of it. If you want to call it a phoenix rising from the ashes, whatever term you want to use, you know, this happens over and over.
When they say giving up, oh, you're giving up? I say, no, you dumbass, I'm giving up on you. I ain't giving up on me.
Right.
Mm.
Hey, Chance, that's what I tell them now.
I says, why should I waste my time? What am I getting out of this but frustration? This is crazy,
man. Hey, Chance, you know, one of the scariest things is, you know, God bless the people that are waking up, but, you know, but the people that really kind of scare me are the people that wake up to their comfort level. They don't want to listen to, you know, Mike
there
Daddy saying the Constitution was a scam from the start. You don't
there
understand.
You go.
Think a little deeper.
There. And then when they wind up behind the eight ball, then they'll seek you out. Then they'll seek you out. But I said, wait a minute, it's too late now, man. I've been telling you this. You got to take care of yourself now. Leave me alone. Have a nice day, you know? What else can you say? What else can you say to people like that? There's no other solution, man.
I don't think you could tell anybody anything, right? And especially if you want them to understand where you're coming from, the worst thing you could do is tell somebody something. You know, they need to come about that and understand that on their own accord. Maybe they can pick up on something that you say, you know, while you're saying something, but you can't tell anybody what to say. At least I don't think you can, unless, I don't know. It's kind of strange, and maybe that's a strange way of saying it, because people don't. You mentioned it a little bit earlier. There's like a pissing contest. Oh, I can actually tell you the date that they started using kaffirs, right?
Yeah.
And oh,
yeah.
This and here, and you find this information about kaffirs from him, and he's the smartest on kaffirs. And I'm like, going, oh, crap.
Yeah,
so, you know.
You understand what I'm saying a bit, I guess.
I
got to the point at my age that says, wow, man, this is useless. This is why I like to joke a lot of times, because what else can you do, man? Because when you see that attitude on your own side, more or less, you've got to say, wait, something's wrong with this, man. What the hell am I doing? I said, I might as well joke and have a good time with this, man, because...
Yeah.
You know, you might as well, because I'll go freaking crazy. That's the last thing I want. Go crazy for somebody else? Oh, no, that's not going to happen.
You know, our Chance, I think I said this on last week's program. I said, you know, knowledge, and not just the knowledge, but the understanding, and putting the knowledge together into a cohesive piece, you know, of understanding what's going on. You know, knowledge in today's world, it's very lonely, it's very isolating, and it's almost a detriment in today's society where people are just running around like morons, you know, just believing, you know, everything they see on their TikTok feed. And,
they sure like to come to us with questions when traumatic points of our time are, let's say, when the Russian war started, or no, Russian war, the Ukrainian war, you know, when that started, when the Corbett started, right? These points where they're traumatized. I get more inquiries, Steve, what do you think? They don't follow what I think, and they think I'm an alarmist, but they're happy to hear it. And then, you know, it's like, well, what do you know about Ukraine? And they go, oh, it's those damn Russians. And they go, have you been paying attention? No, you haven't. Oh, Steve, you always have something negative to say, I hear, all the time. But they come to me, and they ask me these questions. But I'm like, well, why the hell are you even asking me these questions? You know where I am with my head. Right, you know, but they want to hear it. So maybe that's what we're for, Chance. Go ahead.
How about this, guys? Wear a pink ribbon. We need to make everyone aware of breast cancer. Donate to us so we can make everyone aware of breast cancer. And I'm like, I think people pretty much know about breast cancer.
To breast
cancer. Why don't
cancer?
You talk about what's causing it and how to stop it? It's like,
Alan,
we're aware of it. Why aren't you doing anything to stop breast cancer? What's causing it? They never do that. It's like, I don't donate the crap because all they want to do is make people aware of it. And I'm like, we're very aware of it. Why don't you look into stopping it, finding out what's causing it?
You know, you'll come to more peace with yourself when you figure out finally that everybody's got egos. And nothing's more important than their egos to them. So regardless of what solution you give, what recommendation, it's going to go over their heads. People just don't want to do anything.
No.
If they don't want to do anything, you have to say, well, then you become a victim. But don't come knocking on my door when the shit hits the fan because, you know, you're not going to be welcome. I mean, that's how you got to look at it. It's a shame.
Chance, I actually told my uncle, I said, why don't you buy some of this storage food? You know, if nothing else, if what I'm talking about doesn't happen, you know, 10 years down the road, at least you can eat it, you know? It's some pretty good stuff, you know? It's like, well, if what you're talking about happens, I'll just come up to your place. And I said, no. I told my uncle to his face, I said, no. I said, that's why I'm telling you. You've got more money than I do. Buy some storage food, you know? Because, you know, he said, well, if what you're talking about happens, I'll just come up to your place. And I said, no. That's why I'm telling you to buy a storage food. Because
come on to your place.
When you're coming up my driveway.
Hey, you got any crackers?
And Alan, he'll still be the first one at your door when it hits the fan. You know that, don't you?
I know. You know, it's just...
Regardless of how many times you tell him, he'll still be the first one knocking on your door. That's when you got to, you know, close the curtains, lock the door, and, you know, just say, you're on your own, pal, man. You know,
I feel like I'm kind of a little bit screwed right here. You know, the relationship has gone south, and my food stores are diminishing, and the monetary sources are diminishing, and everything's diminishing.
You would be one person welcome at my place, Steve.
He's going to help you when you're in that situation.
You would be one person that I wouldn't shoot coming up my driveway, okay?
Yeah. Okay, I appreciate that. But I'm just saying, you know, I was listening to the radio yesterday, and I forget who I heard this from, but they were talking about that individual that burned himself, the Air Force guy, right? I don't remember who was saying it. And it says, what a waste. You know,
it is a waste. Let me tell you why. Because, all right, I admire his stand, don't get me wrong. But you know what? They forgot about him a day or two after he burned himself up. They didn't care. So what did he prove?
He didn't accomplish anything. He just took himself.
Hey, but Steve, hey, guys, Steve was staying with me when the Arab Spring started. We watched the guy, was it in Tunisia or Algeria?
It was Tunisia.
Set himself on fire and started the whole Arab Spring thing, if we're to believe what they tell us.
Yeah. But that was the summer of blue and orange. You know, it's
a guy in Tunisia set himself on fire and it threw the whole Middle East into an uproar, and everything changed, but it remained the same.
2011, was that right?
Yeah,
you know,
somewhere right there.
Was. The old space
2010, 2011, yeah.
And nobody knows about that, cares about that, you know.
When you're burned up to ashes, nobody, they're going to forget about you anyway. See yourself. You know, you didn't make a, he didn't make a real change in people's minds. It all he did was kill himself. Think about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, he didn't.
And my friend, does everyone remember Tiananmen Square? It's like, you know, I
you made a change
all the time. It's like, I would love to do something, but one guy standing in front of a tank in Tiananmen Square, he didn't change squat, did he?
Oh, exactly. He changed a lot more than you understand. There's that whole thing by Ray Bradbury about changing the future. You know, one butterfly, you know, if you kill one blood butterfly, it could change the entire world. He changed the world more than, you know, most of us will know, but he changed it in ways that we cannot see because he existed that day. He became an icon.
Steve, that's a perfect example. Did people rally after him? No, he just disappeared. See, now the way I look at it, I'm not gonna kill myself. I'm gonna make the son of a bitches kill me.
Well, you know, I would say, Alan, you'd be right in alignment with that dude, right? You know, you'd be fed up and you'd stand in front of that and say, "Screw you." No.
Yeah, but I'd be the only one standing in front of the tank, Steve.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be
to
get
run.
He didn't do that to get famous. He did that because he had enough. And you have that "I've had enough" crap in your blood, Alan, right?
Real
so
cool.
I know that's the thing. The very reason we're having this conversation is because that dude did that with his life and he had enough. Did it change the world and the communists say, "Oh, we were wrong"? No. He didn't get the outcome he wanted, right? He probably died. You know, nobody knows. But he is there in China still, right, as a memory of somebody that you can't talk about. You know, he's still there.
It's a memory.
This is like the insurrection on January 6th, you know. I hope the next time that happens, those million and plus people that were in Washington showed up with an AR-15 and a pistol on their hip.
Well, see, now, and there's another perfect example. Those guys are sitting in that gulag all this time. See, nobody's doing nothing. Nobody
cares.
No. Even Trumpenstein, Trumpy Bear, he didn't do nothing for them. Think about it.
In the 90s, what do you think Randy Weaver and Oklahoma City and all this did? It shut down all those militia movements that were growing and gaining strength, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if people don't get off,
that's the music.
Hang on, Chance.
Republic of Texas Radio, Hour 2, coming up. Be right back.
In the farther sky, paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.